Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Garrett Wilson. Wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing. Gibson on the return. Near side. I don't see any flags. Gibson inside the 30. Hits the Jets. And he's going to go! Jets win it! Touchdown, rookie Xavier Gibson. Game over.
Allen has time. Intercepted. Sauce Gardner's got it, Allen. Tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Brees Hall. He's done it again. Brees Lightning. 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast, number 95 for the Jets.
Listen. Thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time to answer your mailbag questions with our friend who is the editor over at JetNation.com, Mr. Glenn Naughton. Glenn, what's up, brother?
Oh, full draft mode at this point in time, Scott. Obviously, it's full on checking pro days, reviewing combine, reviewing Senior Bowl data and film. It's a busy time, but it's a good time because the Jets have put themselves in a nice position come draft day.
Yeah, looking forward to the draft. It's going to be very interesting to see what the Jets do now. Free agency may have changed the trajectory of what the Jets do with some of their picks. May not have, though. So we'll see. It really depends on who's available and what the Jets board looks like. And I'm sure we've got plenty of questions in that regard when it comes to the draft here in the mailbag. But before we get to those, let's talk about two questions we got from Michael Pallas regarding one of the Jets' latest signings, and that is Tyron Smith. He asks, is it a bad sign that the Jets were the only ones willing to take a risk on Tyron Smith? And also, is it a bad sign that he only came to the Jets because it was his only true option? So if you missed it, Tyron Smith spoke to the press and he said that it was between the Jets and the Cowboys, and the way things were going with the Cowboys, he was pretty sure that the Jets were the option that he was going to have to take. And so he's excited for his new opportunity and all that. And what you can read between the lines there is that no other teams besides the Jets and the Cowboys were interested, and that the Cowboys were sort of dragging their feet. What Connor Hughes from SNY has said is that the Jets basically made Tyron Smith an offer thinking that it was not going to be high enough for him to really consider it because it was so incentive-laden. They made him that offer thinking, well, on the small chance he accepts it, great, but if not, we'll move on and try and find another veteran somewhere else. And he came back and accepted it. So they were thrilled with that. And it may have really helped them out in a way that they weren't expecting, because they may have been looking at signing a left tackle that they didn't expect to be the definite starter. We've talked about Donovan Smith. He's a guy that you sign and you don't necessarily pencil him in as the starter. He could be the starter if you need him to, but he's a guy that could easily be supplanted by somebody else. That's not going to be the case with Tyron Smith. By the way, and we'll talk about this later, I think the Jets should still try to sign Donovan Smith. They could get him for cheap and he'd be a really good contingency in case one of the tackles has to miss some games. But anyway, to Michael's questions here, they're worth thinking about in the sense that, yes, of course, it's always going to be alarming when the team that signs a player is the only team that was really willing to take on the risk, because the Cowboys were in the mix, but they weren't really stepping up and being aggressive about it. They were laying back. It didn't seem like they were super interested, is what Tyron Smith indicated. And so the Jets were the only team that really made him a firm offer. Does that make you nervous that other teams weren't willing to go and try and get this guy who's a five-time All-Pro? Absolutely, it makes you nervous. Also, is it a bad sign that he only came here because the Jets were his only true option? It's not ideal. You'd prefer it if he picked the Jets over a bunch of other teams, but here's the reality of the situation. If Tyron Smith comes here and gives the Jets anything close to a full season at full health, it is going to be an enormous win for the Jets. There's not a ton of downside here because he got $6.5 million guaranteed, and we went through the numbers on the show with Nick Farrier the other day. If he doesn't play that much, I believe if it's six games or less, he really doesn't get that much in incentives. So the Jets protected themselves well against injury. Ideally, you would have liked it where there were five or six teams in the mix. Everybody wanted him, and the Jets got him anyway. But all that really matters now is whether or not Tyron Smith plays well. And by all accounts, he's a guy with a great attitude. So even if he came here because the Jets were his only firm offer, he seems to be plenty excited about playing with Aaron Rodgers, having the opportunity to be in the mix for the playoffs and maybe something more, and obviously being able to help some of the other offensive linemen. Joe Tippmann would be a guy he could help, even though Joe Tippmann's not a tackle, still helping with offensive line technique. And obviously Carter Warren would be another one. We've heard the coaching staff and the front office are both high on Carter Warren. So it's not great that those things are the case, but as I said, all that matters now is that Tyron Smith comes in, is a positive presence, stays healthy, and plays well. If that happens, the rest doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's a roll of the dice, obviously, when you bring a guy in with a history like Smith, and you do look at that and wonder if so few teams were willing to roll the dice on a guy who has that much talent, given his resume. It is. I mean, the injuries are already in the back of your mind, but it sort of compounds when you look at that. But it's just an opportunity the Jets couldn't pass up. I felt a lot better about it. I said this after the signing. This was, earlier in during the season and early in the offseason when I'm looking at free agent targets. In my mind, I had misremembered, I guess. I thought Smith missed 13, 14 games this past season. When he signed and I went back and looked again, I thought, all right, he did just have a season where he played 13, 14 games. So it's not like he's years removed from showing he can play a dozen plus games. And while that's not the ideal scenario, it's a hell of a lot better than going with a mediocre to poor tackle for 15, 16 games. If it means you're going to get Smith for a dozen plus and then have a backup plan in place, which, we've discussed and we'll continue to discuss whatever the backup plan may be. If they add another veteran, if they're really that high on Carter Warren. So there is some risk involved, but look, it's a high risk, high reward. And when you need an offensive lineman who can start day one, there's not a lot out there. Even these draft picks are, they're a bit of a crapshoot. So I love the move, but I understand the skepticism and the concern.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Next question comes in from Michael Christopher. He asks, if the Jets decide to trade down, how far do you think they should be willing to go? Would you be comfortable sliding all the way into the 20s to gain an extra second rounder and potentially miss out on Olufoshanu, Brock Bowers, or possibly even Rome Odunze? If so, who would your targets be in the first and second round and then even the third? So I'd consider moving into the 20s, but it would depend on who's on the board when I'm picking, and it would also depend on who it is I have targeted if I slide into the 20s. Now, what's making me a little nervous is I'm starting to think that Adonai Mitchell and Brian Thomas Jr. are going to go somewhere in that 15 to 20 range. So if you slide down past that, I think you might be going a little too far, because if I'm trading down, I would ideally love to trade down a spot or two and still get Brock Bowers. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility, by the way, if somebody comes up for a quarterback. But I probably wouldn't want to go further than about 15, because I want to make sure that if I'm trading down, I can still get either Adonai Mitchell or Brian Thomas Jr. The two receivers outside of those top three guys that I think could make a big impact day number one, which is what the Jets really need. If I were able to get an extra second round pick, What would I do with it? I guess, again, it depends on how the board breaks. I might be looking at somebody like Jordan Morgan if he's available. Glenn, we've talked about Cooper Beebe many times. Christian Haynes, the guard from UConn. The Jets had somebody at his pro day. Nick Faria, who comes on the show all the time from SI, is a huge Christian Haynes fan. Malachi Corley is a possibility. That's a guy that I really like. By the way, I wouldn't be against taking Malachi Corley even if I took a weapon in the first round, because depending on who you take in the first round, it could be a completely different type of receiving weapon. So I really think it depends on how the board breaks, but as far as trading down, you'd need to really knock my socks off to get me to trade into the 20s, because if I'm doing that, I feel like I'm probably missing out on the day one players that I would want for 2024. And as we know, Glenn, 2024 is very important when it comes to the Jets, because it's the only year as of right now that you know Aaron Rodgers is going to start the season. We can't say for sure that he's going to be here in 2025. He can't say for sure. He may want to be here in 2025, but he's 41 years old, coming off an Achilles. His body will let him know whether or not that's possible.
Yeah, that's one of the interesting things going around Twitter right now, isn't it? A lot of folks just saying, well, Aaron said he wants to play 3 or 4 more years, so there you go. And acting as if that just makes it so. I reminded someone the other day, Drew Brees once said he wanted to play until he was 50. He fell about 8 years short of that. You can want to play, but is your body going to allow you to play? Now, if I'm trading back and on the Jets, I've looked at it a few times, and I feel like 18 to 20 is about as far back as I would want to go. And there are some mocks, you know, Scott, and we have no idea how it's going to play out. I would be shocked personally, but I've seen a few mocks that have Brock Bowers still on the board in that range. I mean, God, if the Jets could trade down to 18 with the Colts or something like that and end up, or the Bengals, whoever, I forget who's at 18, and get Bowers and a second, I'm taking Brock Bowers there. And then with that second round pick, I'm going to get a guy like Tavondre Sweat. I feel like DT is I know they signed a couple of guys, but they don't have a guy like Sweat. Not many people do have a guy like Tavondre Sweat. Absolute monster in the middle, you know, 350, 360, can collapse the pocket, stop the run. He would be my top target there. And then I would probably look to go offense again in the third round. And again, any draft scenario is dependent on how the board falls, right? But, you know, some of the names that I've seen there that I like, Bo Braid, the safety from Maryland. I mean, that's probably a little too early for him. But again, I'm looking at kind of players who I really like, who the Jets could use. But I would have no problem with somebody like a Tez Walker, Braylon Allen, the running back out of Wisconsin. We know Joe Douglas takes a running back every year. I don't know if he's going to take one that early. And, you know, especially I'm a big Iggy Abanikanda guy, so I would like to see him get an opportunity to win that running back two job. But second round, my top choice would be Tavondre Sweat. And once you get into the third round, it would be sort of best playmaker or defensive player that fills that need. Like I said, like a Bo Braid. I've seen some people say Braden Fisk will make it to the third. I don't see that happening. And I get, if you've just taken Sweat, you're not going to take Fisk. But there will be some good players to be had. And if I'm looking O-line, I'm going to look at a guy like Mahogany or Cooper Beebe, who you just mentioned.
Mahogany's a good one, too. Next question comes in from our buddy John Grella. He says, based on what Ken McCusick, the Ravens film analyst, said on the show the other day, are we sure that John Simpson is a starter? Also, how much better is the offensive line now than before free agency? A lot or a little? On paper, they were the worst offensive line in the league last year. What would you rank them as now? So let's start with John Simpson. It is concerning, the fact that he had all those penalties and that he does have a fair amount of shortcomings. You saw some really good highlight reel plays, and there's some upside with him, and he is still only 27 years old, but he was with one of the best offensive line staffs in the league, and we saw some of the problems that he had with the Ravens last year. I think he can be a starter, but they do have Wes Schweitzer, and as we said before, I would bring back Connor McGovern as insurance. At least you know Connor McGovern can play at a capable level if they need him. As far as the second part of this question, how much better is the offensive line? That really depends on if everybody stays healthy. If Morgan Moses stays healthy, if Tyron Smith stays healthy, if John Simpson plays at an adequate level, if Elijah Vera Tucker stays healthy, the offensive line has a chance to be probably around middle of the pack, or if Tyron Smith stays healthy the entire year, maybe slightly better than that. I think they could be significantly better than last year, but the question is all about how healthy the players stay. I would be much more inclined to think that Morgan Moses will make it through the whole season than Tyron Smith, but Tyron Smith did play 13 games last year. The Cowboys figured out a way each week to keep him fresh, and that way he wasn't burned out by the end of the season, which had been a problem previously. Ideally, if everything goes right, this is an offensive line that could be above the top half of the league. If things go wrong, who knows? And as far as Simpson goes, I think he can be a starting guard. He's not a great starting guard, but look at what you're paying him. Every player on the offensive line can't be a superstar. They do have Schweitzer, and I would bring back McGovern as insurance as well.
Yeah, I think the health obviously is the key. That's what we all know it. Everyone's talking about it. Guys have to stay on the field. If they do stay on the field, I think this could be, you know, you said better than top half. I think I would say top 10 even, Scott. You know, with Simpson likely being the weak link, because, you know, we talk all the time how players, you know, the biggest jump you often see a player make is year one to year two. So here's Joe Tippmann, who is just all rookie, and he's got a year under his belt. If he makes a significant jump, and then we've seen what AVT can be when healthy. We've seen what Smith can be when healthy. Morgan Moses was arguably a top 10 tackle last year. So you've got three or four guys who you could say, if healthy, these are top 10 guys. And, you know, Simpson will be the question mark at guard. But as you said, you do have Schweitzer coming back. I would be surprised if they don't bring McGovern back. So you're going to have the depth this year should be better than what it was last year. And I think this could be, again, all goes well, top 10. If all doesn't go well, I mean, we saw last year how bad it can go. Yeah, if they end up using 14 guys again and 11 combinations, then it'll be a disaster again.
Next question comes in from P. Cool Wright. Uniforms. I know you hate this topic, but Scott, we need your opinion. Do you like the return to 80s fashion? So this is the best answer I can give you. While I still do not care at all about the uniforms, the 80s were a really fun time to be a Jets fan because those were some of the most fun offenses this team has ever had. So anything that could get me to think back to the 80s and watching Wesley Walker, Al Toon, Mickey Schuler, Kenny O'Brien, Freeman McNeil, Johnny Hector, JoJo Townsell, anything that triggers my memories of those days is a positive. So I'm fine with it.
Yeah, same here. Don't care about uniforms, but I did kind of smile when they made that announcement. I was like, oh, that's cool. That'll be a lot of flashbacks to my childhood, you know, when I started watching this team.
Next question comes in from MJB Jax 0723. He asks, any update on AVT's rehab and availability for training camp and start of the season? I know that AVT had said that he was targeting week one of the season, but it wasn't a guarantee. That was the last we heard. So as far as I'm aware, that was the latest update, right?
Yeah, just looked it up real quick. It looks like back in January, AVT spoke out about it. He said he's feeling great, progressing well. And if you remember, Scott, it was said a couple of months ago that they believed that week one was a possibility. So I think that if they're saying that months ago and he's saying in January that he's progressing well and feels great, then I would expect him to be ready early on.
Next question comes in from JP Waxer. He asks, given how Joe D is so sensitive to his draft picks, do you see him making any more significant free agent signings that could impact future comp picks? I don't. Curious what you guys think. I don't think so, because at this point, who is it that would be left that he would be signing that would be some sort of massive impact signing? I don't think there's anyone out there that would really do anything as far as the comp formula. He signed who he signed, and as far as I'm aware, it's not going to mess up them getting a third round pick next year for Bryce Huff. So no, I don't see him doing anything that would mess up the comp picks.
Yeah, that would be surprising. There's really no big fish left out there, and even the big names he brought in didn't get huge money. So as far as I know, it shouldn't impact the Huff pick. I did see Scott overthecap.com put out a tweet after the Jets lost Huff. And obviously, I know it's early because performance and salary do come into it, into the comp pick formula. But Jason from Over the Cap said that he was projecting the Jets to get a 4 for Huff. But whether it's a 3 or a 4, I don't see anyone left on the market that's going to wash that away.
Next question comes in from Scotter T. He asks, what is the bare minimum of success needed for Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh to stick around after this year? 10 wins, no playoffs, wild card playoff loss, playoff win, or more? I think they got to make the playoffs. That's it. They have to make the playoffs. If they do that, I think they probably stay unless there's some sort of problem with Aaron Rodgers. I think a 10-win season and no playoffs probably wouldn't be enough to keep them here. I just don't know how you would sell that to the fan base, especially with Aaron Rodgers and all the hype going into this season. It's playoffs or bust. We can sugarcoat it or try to say it another way, but that's it. They've got to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's probably the right answer. I mean, it is tough, though, because it's rare, but you know, if they go out and win 11 games and miss the playoffs, do you fire them? Like, if they're really trending in the right direction like that, I think you're right. I think playoffs should be the goal. I think they would both be gone. We talked about this with Zach Rosenblatt the other day, and I kind of agreed with him. I think if either of them were a bit more under the microscope, I would think it would be Salah. Douglas, for all of his warts, has done enough good things, and especially, you know, if Rodgers blows up this year, if the team he's assembled this year plays really well, but they're losing games because of some of the things we've seen in the past, the penalties, the lack of discipline, the coming out flat, you know, the things that kind of fall on the coaches. I can see a world where Douglas survives, but for all intents and purposes, it's like make the playoffs or you're very likely fired, both of you. I don't know that 10 wins saves their jobs.
Glenn Naughton, editor, JetNation.com. Thanks so much for coming on and answering mailbag questions with me. Really appreciate it. I know you guys have a ton going on over at JetNation.com right now, so make sure that you go to JetNation.com. Listen to Glenn and Dylan Terriman on Jet Nation Radio as well. Check out everything we're doing at PlayLikeAJet.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.